Space. What endless mystery. Look at it. Wow. Who do dare uncover its secrets? The brave crew of the starship Cavalier do dare to scout the heavens, to see some moons, to take a dangerous galaxy trip. This is the true story of them that voyage among, oh, these, those stars of space. Tonight's episode is The Old Ship, starring Tim Platt as Gelmir Lysander, Christopher Hastings as Begonia Blood Terror, Branson Reese as Billy Onassis, and Joe Lepore as everything and everyone else.
Ensign's log, space date 70056.y. Log, I am outraged. I am freaking steamed. Meredith and I have been really busy with dumb Cavalier stuff lately, and I thought we could have some quality time by visiting the beach moon Sandora, but it turns out you can't rent a shuttle for personal reasons until you're 25. What the hug? I know having all my potential and being so youthful is a huge asset, but sometimes, Log, being young could be a real drag. Ah, shoot. Back to the bridge, I guess.
We open on the bridge of the CSS Cavalier, the beating heart of the ship, but also its brain. And the fact that it's arranged sort of like a stage lends itself to theatrical metaphors. The point is, it's an important room. Who do we see?
You see a big, tall flower guy. And yeah, that sounds exactly like what I mean. It is a man made of branches and vines and leaves and thorns and flowers. And in the middle of the biggest flower are two blinking eyeballs. This is an angiosperm. That's his alien race. That's how he becomes a flower person. No, this man was not cursed. This man was science fiction. His name is Begonia Blood Terror.
And baby, you're looking at Billy Onassis, the ship's agent. I am, he is tall, I think I said tall, probably. I say tall a lot.
You almost always say tall,
almost
Billy.
Almost always say tall. He's a tall human man. He's sort of like a sepia-toned almost. Not totally sepia, not like when you go to like Dollywood and you get like the old-timey, not like that sepia-toned, just like a light 70s filter.
Just like the fading of a well-loved poster of that classic film, Love Story.
Love Story, one of my favorite movies, because I am, of course, based on Robert Evans. And in the interest of time, just think of him. That's what I look like.
The Godfather.
The doors to the hyperlift open, and Gelmir walks home.
You see Gelmir, tall, lean, with a scar across his face. He's probably about 23 at this point, and he's in a steaming bad mood. Hey, guys, what do we need to do now?
Gelmir, you look awful. You seem like you're in a terrible mood of some sort. What's got you so down?
Let me tell you, I've been sort of working nonstop for, like, a while now, and I kind of thought I deserved a bit of a break, but this fucking Cavalier scheme won't allow you to take time off if you're not 25, basically. That's basically what it means. The fact that you can't rent a shuttle means basically, like, no time off until you've graduated to some, like, artificial age limit that doesn't even fucking matter, even if you've already been on the Cavalier for basically all of your adulthood.
Ah, youth, and I flash a knowing nod to Begonia, assuming that he's older than 25 just based on his voice. It really is wasted on the young.
What are you talking about? I mean, I'm trying to not waste it by taking a vacation, but nobody trusts me.
I know I don't trust you, but maybe over the course of one episode I could learn to.
You know what? Maybe this is a challenge. The Cavalier doesn't trust me. You don't trust me. Begonia, I assume you don't trust me, too.
I would be happy to be your chaperone if you would ever need a
that on a shuttle trip, but no, you may not take one out on your own. We've lost too many good ships to unruly 24-year-olds and younger.
That's it. I know what my want is this episode. I want to get my friends to trust me.
Good luck, little boy.
Little boy, I'm a man. I'm 23.
Please, please, nobody's mad until they're 25. That's the international age of when boys become men.
God.
Okay.
You have so few years left until you truly experience something that makes you angry. Enjoy this time while you can.
Your brain's not even fully formed at this age.
You can't even feel real anger yet.
You don't know anger, you don't know compassion, and you certainly don't know about car rentals.
I have no trust of you.
Can we turn this condescension down a notch? Scratch that. Down a few notches.
He's got us there, Begonia. No coming back from that sick burn.
I suppose I came out a little hot out of the barrel. I'm so mad these days.
Why are you mad?
I turned 25 last month.
Oh, no. That means you get all the benefits of being on the ship. What could possibly be bad about being 25?
I get very angry very easily.
Oh, gosh.
You stupid little boy.
Ah! Gelmir can see that the anger he expressed in just that one moment was different from an anger he's felt. There was a lack of petulance. There was like an earned a weariness in that anger that really did take Gelmir aback. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put my bullshit on your table. You got anger that I can't even touch. I'm not going to try to touch it. And you, Billy Onassis?
I'm Billy Onassis, the ship's agent.
You're on the job. You didn't need my BS, too. Back to work, where we suppress ourselves. Capitalism.
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 The future version of capitalism. They added some biz to it.
Yeah. There's cool orbiting neon rings around capitalism now.
Begonia, on your panel, you receive a message. There's a distress signal coming in.
Look alive, boy. We're needed here.
And I activate the comm.
Great.
This is the CSS Cavalier.
The signal is weak, Begonia. It's an audio-only message.
Play message.
Hello. We are the venerable science vessel with 10 crew. Three left. Captain dead. Send help, but do not.
Ah, shit.
Well, let's see. Maybe I can get something on my control panel, and I activate my agent control panel, and I see if there's any messages on there for me.
You've got a ton of emails.
Oh, God. Okay. Not right now. Not right now. Not right now. I get stressed when I have too many emails. And so then I respond to that stress by not answering those emails. And now when I open my phone, there's a little icon that says 30,000. It's from like Adidas and shit, you know, but and I unsubscribe, but they keep coming in. The life of an agent never ends. We're immortal.
Gelmir, why don't you show some initiative and prove that you're able to pilot a spacecraft? This one. Lock in on that signal and take us over.
No problem. Gelmir touches the panels. And like in any movie, when you're in a sci-fi movie and you see somebody interact with technology as if it's no big thing, even though to you, the viewer, it's crazy complex, that's what Gelmir does.
He's Minority Reporting.
Okay, everybody, buckle up. This is going to be a rocky ride.
I should hope not.
I want it to be cool. It'll be pretty smooth.
It should be very smooth. There's a lot of people on board this ship that would like to remain comfortable outside of this bridge.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was just sort of doing...
God, I'm mad!
Oh, God!
Make a lasers roll.
6.
So, a failure.
Yes.
Gelmir hits engage, and the ride is indeed rocky.
No, I don't love it, but you did warn us.
Sorry, everyone. Sorry. Let me try the stable course.
Roll again.
4. What's your number?
I'm a 2. This is a failure.
Yeah, that's a failure. Gets rockier.
No!
Gelmir, get out of the way!
And Begonia pushes him aside and takes over the control panel to steady the course of the ship.
Begonia, you're a senior officer. Why don't you make a prepared laser for him?
Great. Tim, roll me twice.
2.
Success.
1.
Both successes.
he presses the steady button.
Yeah.
Suddenly the ride becomes smooth like butter. You're cruising in style.
And that, my friend, is the benefit of experience. You'll understand someday.
You're right.
Sorry about that. I've always known about the study button, but I always thought it was a cheat code to do that, that you should be able to guide it without the study button. Sort of like how I think it's cheating to put a capo on a guitar.
You see that there were two guys like moving a big plate of glass through the CSS Cavalier, which is now shattered, and they look at you, Gelmeyer, and they shake their heads.
That was the glass for the children's playroom.
Oh, those children are going to get sucked out into space now.
Oh.
And their toys, says that guy.
Not their toys. Who are we looking at,
I'm one of the glass guys.
Oh, one of the glass guys. Wait,
you're just a guy in the car. And their toys.
It's me, the co-captain, who we've never met.
I'm Stevens, the glazer of the Cavalier.
I'm sorry. In my zeal to make you all respect me and trust me, I've just made things worse. Maybe I should just take a seat back and not take initiative this round.
No, and I put a hand on your shoulder. You're experiencing self-doubt, just like Ryan O'Neill did right before starring in Love Story. And then he started Love Story.
There goes Billy Onassis again with those riffs on Love Story that our audience can't get enough of. That 50-year-old movie that everyone's seen.
It really stood the test of time.
Gelmeyer takes that calculated risk that we all must do every few weeks. Does he trust his agent or not? Huh.
Oh, Jesus. Gelmeyer, I got a big project for you. It's an app.
Okay.
And it doesn't pay.
Okay. And they asked for me?
No.
Okay. Really think so? All I gotta do is believe myself?
All you gotta do is believe in yourself. And in the case of Ryan O'Neill, be the most evil man in Hollywood.
You arrive. Outside, you see this mysterious vessel, the Venerable. It's clearly a much smaller craft than the CSS Cavalier. By the angle it's tilted at, you can tell that something's gone wrong.
Something's terribly wrong.
It's misaligned with space.
Yeah.
We're going to need to keep our wits about us. And I go to my agent station and I prepare the weapons.
When you say agent section, I'm just seeing a screen that is just casting networks, but from like a different angle than the way I see it.
Well, yeah, it's like the station that like Sulu sits at, but it's just got like backstage up.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, all the other chairs on the bridge are like straight or like very upright. Billy Onassis has the only chair that he can lean back in and put his feet up on a station and take calls.
Yeah, you've got like that wireless headset that's like always connected to your phone.
That's what I got. And so I'm leaning back. I've loaded up IMDb Pro and I can't find this ship anywhere. It's got no credits.
All right, Gelmeyer. Here's your next chance for a lesson. You heard the warning. It was unclear, right?
Yeah.
What do you think we should do next? We've seen the ship. We have a warning. We don't know what it's for.
Now that we're outside, maybe it'll be easier to make contact via radio. If we communicate with them now, maybe they'll be able to tell us what that warning was.
Give it a shot.
Gelmeyer closes all the tabs on his own station because it's taking up too much space.
Yeah.
And then he writes a message.
Yeah, the lights get brighter on the ship as you close all the tabs.
Gelmeyer closes snood.
Of course, he's a snood guy. Wow.
Somebody in the medical bay was like flatlining, and as soon as you close snood, like their heartbeat continues.
I'm addicted to that stuff. He writes a message. Hello, ship. You are speaking to the Cavalier. Permission to come aboard and save you? Also, when we got a message before, there was a warning. What was that again?
The message is not transmitted.
It's not getting through. I'm going to close some more tabs. He closes some more tabs. Who are the more pristine ones, the ones he didn't want to close, which were like basically open emails to things that he knew he needed to respond to, but didn't have the bandwidth to respond to right now, but kept open for about a week to say that, well, don't let that one fall too far in your inbox.
A Wikipedia page for like an athlete he was really interested into that was our pre-scrolled to the controversy section.
Yeah.
Gelmeyer, with great regret, closes these unfinished email tabs, not yet knowing that they will be safe to drafts.
That 23-year-old does not know that drafts exists.
Yeah, Billy takes a drag on his cigarette and watches as you do that, and he turns to the camera. He'll figure it out on his own time.
He tries to resend that message.
Make a laser scroll.
To send an email.
3, so it's a failure.
It does not go through.
So you're unable to transmit, or it's not being received.
Well, we know there are at least some people alive on board. We gotta take the risk.
Do we know that?
We know they were when they sent the message.
Ah, there you are. But some time has gone by, much like the time will go by when you'll know this instinctively when you're 25 years old.
One day, Gailmeyer, you'll learn to understand this, but today is not that day. I'm going to back channel and see if I can get in touch with that ship's agent.
Back channel?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I go to my agent station, and there's like a secret network of like all ships have their own agents where they can really just talk casually about how they really feel. I'm going to try to see if their agent is around or if I can get in touch with this guy. Okay, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to get in there. Should I make a lasers roll?
Yes.
Okay. That was a failure.
When you try to access the back channel network, you get an immediate bounce back from the Venerable's ship's agent inviting you to his funeral.
What a pro. This guy, he set out and he had a draft ready to go for when he died and it went automatic. This guy's incredible.
An in memoriam reel for this ship's agent, whose name was Winter Vacation, plays for you.
I wait patiently. This is the agent's way. I wait patiently for the entire piano rendition of It's Been a Long Day Without You. And I just see shots of a man I've never met like, smiling, looking back in the doorway.
That section of the Oscars in memoriam where it's just like executives that you have no emotion about.
Yeah. So I emotionlessly watch this and I nod. I say, one day my name will be on that list. I say, no luck. He's dead.
Begonia, what do we do? We came all this way. We can't just let whoever might be alive in there die from whatever's hurting them. We have to take a risk.
But we can be a little bit more prepared before we go in there. Run a scan.
Huh, all right. Gelmir runs a scan.
Everyone politely claps at Begonia. Everyone else on the bridge.
It's all right. It's all the job.
He scans the ship.
Make a lasers roll.
Laser feelings.
Gelmir, do you want to ask me a question?
Yeah, what was the danger that was cut off in the transmission?
Gelmir, you can't know that.
Okay.
But the scan is successful. You are able to determine that basically all of the ship's systems are offline except for the auxiliary life support. The engines are down. It seems like that final distress signal was the last gasp of the comm system.
So everything is off except the auxiliary life support.
Yeah, shields, weapons.
Well, almost the entire ship is down except for the auxiliary life support. We can assume that someone's still alive in there. I mean, come on, is that enough?
You can even tell from your scan that there are three life signs.
Life signs? They're blinking. There are three lives still there. We gotta go in now.
One for each of us.
To save?
Well, we're on duty. Begonia calls up the transporter chief.
This is Begonia Bloodterra to whichever Irish is currently on duty.
Hi, it's Chief Flanagan.
Hello, Flanagan. We have three on the bridge to beam over to the...
You'll be saying teleport.
My apologies.
We don't beam here.
Yes, of course. I got too into it.
We don't beam.
Three crew members on the bridge that need to teleport over to the Venerable. Please.
Aye, aye.
You teleport. We cut to what can only be the bridge of the Venerable. This is clearly not the CSS Cavalier, with a vibe that listeners will instantly recognize as Apple Store-esque. Mm-hmm. It is a mess.
Oh.
Things are strewn about the space, wires hang from the ceiling. More like an Apple Store after Black Friday, you say to yourself with a little chuckle.
But you shouldn't!
Because clearly something has gone wrong here. Uh-huh. We hear the sound of three Cavalier crew members teleporting on board.
Jeez. What a pile of junk.
This place looks like an Apple Store. After Black Friday, that is.
Who's that?
Oh!
You turn around and you see a scientist, a very, very old scientist. He's got like long, long, wispy white hair, but you know, the top is totally bald. He's got like gnarled fingers gripped with arthritis. He's stooped.
Look at you, you're beautiful. You're a character actor. We could use a scientist like you aboard the CSS Cavalier. And I walk forward confidently and I hand him my card. I say, Billy Onassis, CSS Cavalier, I'm the agent at large.
No, no.
No?
You shouldn't be here.
You shouldn't be here either. You should come with me to the CSS Cavalier.
It's not the time for a pitch.
No? What's going on? Wait, if it's not the time for a pitch, something's dreadfully wrong. What's wrong?
This!
What? What are you gesturing to? Yourself?
Something terrible has happened aboard this ship.
We know. That's why we're here to save you and whatever crew members are still alive. We know there's two more. We can take you back to our ship, cut your nails, get you cleaned up, get you on casting networks, get a headshot, try to get a reel together.
I never said my nails were long, but more to the point.
It was just a vibe. You have the vibe of a... And I look for the first time at his nails to see if they're long or not.
They're expertly clipped.
Sorry, Gelmeyer. That's the kind of thing you'd learn to look for if you were older than 25.
The fingers were gnarled. I said nothing of the nails.
Okay, fine.
His fingers are gnarled from all of the constant clipping.
Sir, your hair is so long and your fingers so gnarled. How long have you been adrift? It looks like decades.
It's been only weeks, but when the accident happened, I was merely a man of 28.
28? That's a pathetic baby's age. And I look at Gelmeyer. No offense.
Hey! I mean, adults can laugh at themselves.
But did you get our message? We said not to come aboard unless there was interference.
The message did come through incomplete. We had to take a risk.
Oh, I'm afraid then you're all stuck here. We don't know what the cause is, but there's no reason not to assume it's contagious as it's affected the entire crew. Most of us have already expired.
Expired? This is terrible. No. I refuse.
Even ship's agent. Winter vacation.
I know. I watched the... That's it. I can't...
He
I
had
can't
just
like
moved
this.
Up from the mailroom.
From the mailroom?
A few months ago.
Okay. You know what? I'm out, and I touch my comms badge, and I say, Flannery O'Connor, whatever your name was. Three back to the CSS Cavalier. Teleporter Chief O'Flanagan, three back to the Cavalier now.
Oh, Billy, I have to admit I've had the channel open and I heard everything this man said. There's no letting your back on the Cavalier. You could be making everyone old.
I could be... Oh, no!
It's best if we quarantine you over there and, well, see if what happens, happens.
And I look with anger to Gelmeyer and go, well, Gelmeyer, it looks like you got your wish to be older. But at what cost, Gelmeyer? What dreadful cost?
I thought you ran a scan and made sure that there weren't any weird illnesses on board the ship.
I'm sorry, but if the foolishness of youth made me take a risk to try to help someone, I'm not going to apologize for that. Maybe you two have become too old and whether to actually care about helping the people in this galaxy.
We could have teleported in wearing spacesuits.
Right, that was an option. Yeah, you know it? That is direction I will accept. That was direction of that. I will learn that next time.
And the philosophy I represent is self-serving cowardice.
Gelmeyer turns back to the old scientist. So wait, is this a disease?
We don't know. We haven't been able to find any pathogens.
What are the symptoms?
Look at me.
Cellular decay.
Advanced aging, rapid aging. I was 28. I had my whole 29 ahead of me. Now it seems I may not ever reach it.
You know, 29 is actually worse than 30, I've heard. Because 29, you're like looking up to 30.
And I walk over to Gelmeyer and I slap him across the face 3 times.
Ow!
Snap out of it. We only have so much time before we become old and die. This man was 28 and already he's a disgusting elderly. Think about how old I'll become.
And Gelmeyer, as he says that, you notice Billy's crow's feet, often finely Botoxed, are a little more apparent.
Gelmeyer's eyes widen, staring at Billy.
What are you looking at? What's going on with my face?
Nothing. Just the words you say.
That deep, deep tan is giving way to some liver spots.
Tell it to me straight. What's going on? What are you looking at?
Nothing. I'm just hearing...
I don't trust you, and I look into a reflective surface. There's plenty. It's like an Apple store, right? There's got to be one or two in there.
Sure.
I look down into a big shattered iPad, and I see my reflection in that black mirror. I think I'm beginning to understand that show's name now. And I see that my crow's feet have deepened, and my liver spots are coming through. I look up at Gelmeyer. I say, you did this. You need to fix this.
Old man, what's your name?
Well, it's funny you say that. My name is Gus Oldman.
Oh,
you've got to laugh.
It's written down. I'm not kidding.
You turned your iPad and showed all NPC names to Tim.
Well, I had to prove that it really happened that way.
We got to figure this thing out. We got to figure it out fast.
You're a scientist, so just to...
You can call me Dr. Oldman.
Okay, Dr. Oldman. What have you learned about this illness? You can't.
I'm sorry. A 28-year-old named Gus...
Yes.
You don't come across that very often.
It's short for Guster.
That makes a lot more sense. I am much more on board.
Yeah, you were named Guster.
Yeah, your parents love the bongos.
You must know something about the disease. You're a scientist. What have you learned?
The problem is I don't think it's a virus or bacteria or disease in that sense. We had been on an assignment charting temporal anomalies in this sector.
Oh, get you every frickin' time.
for 3 years. And then some kind of energy wave knocked out most of the ship's main systems, including the engines. Maybe you noticed that in your scans. I'm sure you had intense scans of the ship before you attempted to board.
I'm sure we did.
Shortly after, we began to notice the changes. They were minor at first. A few gray hairs, more conservative politics. But we ignored them until we couldn't anymore. And then our older crew, well, one by one, age took its toll.
This temporal anomaly, what exactly were you exploring there? Maybe there's something about the physical location of where we are. If the Cavalier can maybe drag the ship out of the physical anomaly, maybe we can reverse time.
And hopefully before this administration raises our taxes.
Begonia.
Eh?
You didn't always think like that.
Think like what? Don't tell me how I think, boy.
And Gelmir, you notice that the richly colored plump petals that make Begonia's face are looking a little more wrinkled. Like a bouquet that needs to have the water changed.
Yeah, you're right. You used to think like that too. Dr. Oldman, we need a scan to figure out where exactly we are situated in space. I think the Cavalier can pull the ship away.
Well, the wave passed through us. I don't think it's still here.
But we're obviously still feeling the effects. Let's track the wave. Maybe then we can put our scanners in the wave and find out if there was something fundamental about the way it discharged the space air here.
The doors to the bridge open, and a woman enters using a walker.
A woman?
We won't be moving this ship anywhere. Not with the engines in the state they are. Hello, I'm Engineer Carol Wisely.
Carol Wisely?
Yes.
How old are you, Carol Wisely?
34.
34? Oh, no. This is it's happening quick. Sorry, I just did a live show last night. Oh, this is terrible. We've got... Gelmeyer, what have you done to us?
I didn't mean to, but we can still solve this problem. I just need you all to trust me.
Oh, no.
Gelmeyer, you better figure this out. You better figure this out quick, because I need to get back to the CSS Cavalier and catch Kevin Costner's new show. It's happening to me.
Maybe I can help, as the doors open and a third crewman walks on board. He is in the prime of his life.
What?
He looks like a robust 35-year-old man.
A really good age.
His features have all settled into a sturdy, lacking in baby fat face. He's got a strong jawline. He's got just a little hint of gray at the temples, but it lends him a little gravitas.
It's tasteful.
He stands tall and straight and strong.
Hello. My name is Ensign Chester Baby.
Jesus Christ. Chester Baby?
Yes.
Well, you must have been a baby.
When this all began, I was only 22.
Oh, God.
Whatever this anomaly is, it seems to have a different effect the older you are. The older you are, the faster the changes happen. There's some kind of dividing line in the mid-20s we've been able to gather, where it advances much more rapidly.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And at that, I feel my hair that just sort of like grew like a toupee naturally, it starts to thin, and you watch as my hairline just starts receding up my head. I was quite a bit older than my mid-20s.
Chester Baby, you're the youngest and spryest. You must, like me, still have the energy and activity and gumption to make a positive change in this world.
Of course, I'm akin to a 35-year-old. I'm in the prime of my life.
Do you have any theories about what is happening and how we can reverse it?
The only thing I've been able to guess, as an ensign, is that if there were some kind of anti-aging wave somewhere else in space we could put ourselves in the path of, maybe we could stop the effects. Reversing seems impossible. I may be stuck here. Also, please don't call me Chester Baby. You can just call me Chester or Chester, comma, Baby.
Honestly, cool. Gelmir touches his comms pad. Hello, Seamus O'Haney or whatever?
Have some respect, boy.
Yes, what do you want, Gelmir?
We need you to do a scan with the Cavalier. Are there any anti-aging phenomena happening in the immediate area? Or the not-so-immediate?
How would I even look for that? How would I even attempt it? An anti-aging phenomena? If there are anti-aging phenomena all around the galaxy, people would be flocking to it.
And at that, I light up and say, Winter Vacation, where was the station?
Why,
It was right over there.
Yes, yes. And I run over and I see his skeleton and I just sort of like, whoop, and I knock it over. There's like a like xylophone sound.
It's like bowling pins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A bowling pin sound effect as I knock his skeleton over and I minority report his station and I'm looking around. And Joe, I'm scanning for, if I'm looking for an anti-aging ray, I'm looking for reports of actors who are a little past their prime who don't look it.
Yeah.
People who are still booking
like high school roles.
Exactly.
In their
I'm
30s.
Looking for Dawson Creek, yeah. Dawson's Creek style like actors.
Yeah.
I'm looking for reports of that because if I can notice a wave of that or like a pattern of that,
yes.
That wave might be in their location. That's yes. what I'm looking for.
Yes. Make a feelings roll.
You.
And this is your job.
Yeah.
Make a prepared feelings roll.
You got it.
It is your job to know where the slightly past their prime are trying to book.
You say that like it's a joke and not a real part of what being an agent
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
So, Joe, I got a success and I got my laser feelings.
Billy, do you want to ask me a question?
Can I please survive this episode?
I mean, we'll see.
Okay, I accept the answer. The stakes have been raised. But also, I got two successes.
Yeah, but you cannot succeed at the impossible.
I understand. I cannot book this guy.
Audiences are simply turning away from older actors playing young.
Ah, shit.
And the loosened child labor laws mean only ever more high schoolers are getting gassed.
Everywhere I look, there's children playing children. This is awful. This is a terrible wasteland. I mean, every once in a while, a guy in his 30s, a 35-year-old in the prime of his life will play a high schooler, but he's roundly mocked. No, there seems to be no pattern whatsoever.
Since the Evan Hansen laws, they've really curtailed that practice.
It's like our world's version of like the Butlerian Jihad.
Yeah, people rose up. Never again with that hairline.
I shake my head sadly. I say, dear Evan Hansen took everything from us, even our last chance at survival, I feel.
Gilmer, who after being on this ship is actually probably around 25, can sense that nobody around him is actually familiar with the technology that he is aware of that's going to help them do what they do. So he takes out his phone, and because it is like directly connected to the Cavalier, he's able to use a Cavalier scan to scan out to find an anti-aging area.
Gilmer, when you do, you have some texts from some of your bros from the academy, and they're all just like texting about some of the wild parties they've been going to lately.
Jeez. These guys, they gotta realize that life isn't all parties. They have to make positive choices now if they hope to get where they want to be. Oh my god, it really is happening.
Makes you angry, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
have you noticed, Gelmeyer, that the generation behind you is the first generation that's ever been stupid and silly?
It's kind of like, I don't think they are moral. I don't think they're good, you know? And maybe it's the tyranny of small differences, but like, even the TV shows I watched had a moral bend to them. And the TV shows they watch, it's like it's just entertainment for kids.
It's immoral to be shallow and frivolous. I agree.
Yes.
I am agreeing even more every second as I say that.
And they hate
Plus,
work.
Doesn't it feel like just yesterday you were getting all the shit about how your generation sucked, and now these kids come along, and they're the hot ones now. You're forgotten already.
Yeah, and you ever feel like you have to bite your tongue when you meet someone who goes like, oh yeah, I grew up with PewDiePie?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I guess in the future, he is an old figure from history for us.
Yeah, but he still targets the same demographic.
He's still going, like a Futurama head in a jar.
He's there, Jack Benny.
So Gilmer is still able to incorporate new technology very effortlessly.
Not as effortlessly as when you boarded the ship.
Uh-oh.
It's a little less intuitive.
It's a little less intuitive, but at least he knows it, and it seems that none of his peers know it. Yeah. So he's able to remotely, from his phone, lock into the Cavalier's sensors
yes.
and then do a large-scale scan to find an anti-aging phenomenon.
Also, Gilmer, I want to let you know you are losing your capacity to learn new languages.
He was never that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Sarah, Sarah.
That's a different language.
I just thought it was a colloquialism. I didn't even know.
And you never will.
They should learn what we're saying anyway.
Yeah, they should. Does a scan work? Do we see any anti-aging phenomenon?
Make a lasers roll.
Big failure.
No, there's no new anti-aging phenomena besides this. The far future's many options in body modification, skin transplants, cloning, etc.
I'm looking up skin transplants right now. I'm leaning back, but I'm starting to lean forward.
a little. And I'm sitting down in a chair in a way that looks like it's going to be difficult for me to get back up later. And I'm looking around and I try to stop myself, but the words escape my mouth. As you see horror on my face as I say, "You could never make Blazing Saddles today." No! It's happening!
Engine baby.
Yes, sir.
My understanding is that this phenomenon you were tracking was a wave that was in movement.
First, would you like to sit down?
Why? And then you just see, like, the petals are, like, littering the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks very romantic around around Begonia. But upon Begonia, it looks a little bit winter skeleton branches, I should say. Yeah. The stuff that the petals hide is becoming more visible. You're able to see now that, like, oh, he's not just a... But, like, there's weird alien anatomy that those flowers hide. Certainly. And Begonia goes over to the nearest bare, soiled pot and roots down in it comfortably. Like, oh, sometimes nothing is ever better than a good sit.
Yes, yes.
Pot of soil.
So you were saying?
Oh, what was I saying? Wave. Oh, if we know the direction in which it's going, we may be able to track its point of origin. And there could be clues there.
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, why don't you just listen? Listen for once, Gelmeyer.
You need to listen, Gelmeyer. Why, I have half a mind to send you an Instagram message about people you went to high school with who are dead now. It's happening to me. It's happening. You've got to save us.
So track the original phenomenon, see where he's gone?
Sorry, one moment. And Begonia takes out earbuds. He's listening to a talk show about repairing old cars.
Yep.
Right. We know which direction the wave was moving in. We're not going to be able to chase it back down, but we can reverse engineer where it came from, go there, maybe see if whatever this thing is, maybe it's like a big weird cloud that thinks, you should be older, or whatever thing is out there.
Of course, we can reason with the phenomena.
I'm tired. What?
You're right. We can reason with the phenomena. I've got enough optimism and positivity and belief in my fellow sentient beings to know that we can...
Gelmeyer, you're drowned out. Billy is facing away from you. He's the screen that he was looking at all of the agent stuff on, it is now just a big widescreen, and he's playing Yellowstone on it at a really, really high volume. And anytime you're in the fucking house with them, Yellowstone is always on at maximum volume, even when you're trying to have a fucking conversation with him.
Billy.
I'm like him.
Billy.
Me and that guy are the same.
Billy.
What?
Turn on the subtitles.
I don't.
I can't understand what they're saying.
I got that. Here, I'll turn it up. Rather than turn the subtitles on, I'll turn it
Do
up.
Do both. Smooth it. Turn on the smoothing.
Oh, it looks better this way.
That's better.
All the other crew are sort of like wandering over towards the screen.
While this is all happening, Gelmeyer moves towards Ensign Baby and using it on his phone is trying to, again, use the Cavalier scanners to find not an anti-aging phenomenon, but to track the original phenomenon and see where it can be.
And you're doing that on your phone?
Yes.
That's like a highly technical deep space probe. You're not going to be able to do that over your phone.
This nap, my friend worked on it. And he's like, he's dating a friend of mine. But I've hung out with him a few times. He's a really cool dude. Uh-huh. He really fits in with the other guys. And so, like, she's a friend from college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We used to date, but, like,
You don't have to justify why you have a female friend.
He feels like he does.
To Joe?
Gelmeyer, you see that the app needs to update.
Fuck.
But you can't update it when you're not on Wi-Fi.
What the fuck? Damn it. Chester, do you have any idea how we can scan and find the original phenomenon?
Well, if we could get the ship's systems back online...
Take me there. I can fix it. I'm 25. I can learn anything.
Yeah, look, hey, all your baby fat is melting away.
Gummy, who's already been described as incredibly lean, turns to the black mirror and sees himself even leaner, but also sort of full out in his musculature.
Yeah.
As if he's finally been eating to put on natural weight rather than just disappearing. He looks healthy, good, better than ever.
Maybe you've even grown that final special inch, that 25 inch...
Oh, this is it. This is what I've always been waiting for. To be powerful, respected, and beautiful.
This, you imagine, is what you might look like one day when you're a lieutenant. Or even a first officer.
But still, I gotta act the part and make them trust me.
Gelmeyer, your phone rings.
Hello?
You just hear Yellowstone blaring over the phone.
Hey, did you need something? Hello, guys? I'm in the room. I'm in the...
Hear the channel changing, and Billy changes the channel to Taken.
All right, listen to me.
And he says, if this ever happened to my daughter, I'd do all this stuff.
Gelmir hangs up. Just a butt dial. Hello?
Yeah, we're all watching.
We butt dial back.
Gelmir walks across the room to get to your phone and just turns it upside down on the chair.
What are you, why'd you do that?
Hey, look at that. Kevin Costner.
In Taken? That's, oh, my God.
This is when Taken gets really good.
We, like, hold hands and we, like, cheer.
Yay!
Gelmir goes back to Chester. Ensign Baby, help me.
Let's go down to the engine room.
All right.
Great.
They go to the engine room.
And hey.
Yeah?
Between us, with our maturity, I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Definitely.
It's crazy that when this all started, I was younger than even you. And now? Well, you got a lot to learn from me, kid.
I'm tired of everyone always saying I gotta learn from people. When can I just be enough myself?
When someone is younger than you that's on the crew, then you can belittle them.
He looks at Chester. So you've been looking for someone to be younger than you. How long?
Mm-hmm.
You've been looking for someone to be younger than you.
No, I've never really needed that. I always, you know, was fine. I was always comfortable with my age. Sure, I was the youngest of 14 older brothers.
Chester.
Who mocked me, babied me, forced me to let them tie my shoes so I could never learn how.
Gelmir, you get a text message.
What a prank!
That's great.
They denied me the knowledge of the little rabbit going around the hole.
We cut back and one of them's tying your shoes while another, like, blocks your eyes from looking down.
I want to know!
Never!
Gelmir looks at his text.
It's a picture with big block letters on it. And it's a picture of, like, a spotty banana. And it's next to a picture of a book driving a motorcycle. And it says, when did this become more fashionable than this?
Gelmir joylessly reacts, ha ha ha.
You get a text from Billy Onassis that's all caps that says, call me now, emergency.
Gelmir calls.
Have you seen the show Penny Dreadful?
Just like the first two episodes. It's not bad.
It's so cool.
Right, I gotta go.
Gelmir, you're getting paranoid. Don't worry, buddy. Let's go figure this out. Come on, let's go separate ourselves from all the other people.
You're right. I'm just getting paranoid. I guess when you get 25-year-old, some of the real responsibilities start getting to your head. That's kind of scary.
And Gelmir and Ensign Baby exit the bridge. Yellowstone!
Yay, we cheer. We're just flipping back and forth from Yellowstone and Taken really quickly, and it's creating, it's like the lines, or it's like recontextualizing the lines. And you hear, it's like Kevin Costner and Liam Neeson together in tandem are saying,
continue watching television.
There are plenty of seats around the television, but Begonia is just standing by the doorway watching the team from across the room.
Hello, this is Admiral Horatio Centauri of the Vanguard with an urgent message for all Consilium citizens. Corexians and Vermonters lurk around every corner, ready to strike us down. But you can help in the war. How? By joining the These Those Stars of Space Patreon today. Not only will you help us bring the fight to those maple maniacs, those who stand up and do their part get amazing perks, like access to the These Those Stars of Space Discord and an exclusive Patreon-only episode every month featuring your favorite cast members, like Allie Fisher. So what are you waiting for? At just $5 a month, it's the best deal in the galaxy, and it's your duty.
And we're back. Gelmir, the doors open as you enter the main engine room of the Venerable.
What do I see?
Engine room stuff.
Nice.
Big engines, lots of pipes, lots of metal, lots of some panels. There's like glowing, pulsing lights through tubes.
You got the engines, you get the room.
Everything looks like it's working.
Well, maybe we should take a look. Maybe something's changed.
Okay, well, maybe if we were able to regain power from the ship, we can move all of us away from this area and try to figure something out.
Yeah, well, check what the readings are saying. What's the energy output?
What is it?
Can you make a lasers roll?
Yes.
Fucking 24-year-old.
He's 25 now.
Oh, well,
might even be 26.
Oh, he's akin to a 26-year-old.
Oh, God. That's a failure joke.
Okay,
Gilmer, the first thing you notice when you look into the black mirror of that panel before it springs to life is your hairline.
What about it? It's probably as full as it's ever been.
No, Gilmer, it's a little higher than you're used to.
In a flattering way?
Well, in a different way.
But that's not the me I see when I think of myself.
The panel comes to life.
What is it? He looks at the readings. Oh, he's desperate to find something that can just solve this problem with a snap of his finger.
It actually looks like power levels are pretty optimal, but all of the power is being routed to one specific ship system.
What system?
Before you have the chance, I need you to make another lasers roll.
That's my laser feelings.
Do you want to ask me a question?
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question you should ask him. I have a question. Begonia rushes into the scene between Tim and Joe, holding an iPad. I think my iPad has a virus.
I have a question, too. Could you should just submit to send an email to Lorne Michaels.
Did they just take my question out of my hands?
Well, I mean, we should respect our elders, don't you think?
The iPad shows that there are like five different logons called like Begonia, Begonia 1, Begonia underscore 1, Begonia underscore space 1.
I mean, if you want to disrespect the elders and still ask your question, you can. Or, you know, you can help these, you know, poor guys out.
He's 25 years old. He disrespects his elders. So
he's 26.
He's still in the zone of disrespect.
Not for long.
My question is, Chester Baby to me has seemed really suspicious.
Uh-huh.
Is there a tell I can look for that will make this guy crack, maybe reveal something he doesn't want to reveal?
You are going to see a tell right now, in fact.
Okay.
Because you feel a crushing blow on the back of your head.
Ah! Ow! What the hell, Chester?
Chester is holding a big wrench.
But why?
Why? If only you knew. If only you really understood what was going on here. But you'll never get the chance. You'll never get the chance, old man.
You're older than me.
He swipes at you again. Make a laser roll to dodge.
3. It's a failure.
He strikes you in the gut.
Oh! Oh!
Kids these days are soft. We established that we went into the engine room. Kids these days are soft.
When, you did not go. You did not actually go into.
Okay,
it.
We
that
didn't.
Was in, and I that just, was in the laser feeling zone.
To myself, up back on the bridge, I say, "Kids these days are soft." I used to get struck in the stomach with a wrench all the time, and I turned out fine.
Gilmer falls to his falls to the ground, clutching his stomach. He grabs for his phone and then texts his crew the only things he knows they'll respond to right away. Hey, I'm having trouble with my taxes. Can I deduct for coffee?
There's no break, and you start getting a flurry of texts. Your phone just starts blowing up. Okay, here's what you're going to want to do, because Uncle Sam is going to try to steal money from your pocket, okay? You incorporate really quickly, and then every single thing you do is a tax write-off.
Make sure, have you saved your receipts? You're going to have to save your receipts. Receipts has been spelled differently every single time that you see it texted.
Gilmer, as all these texts have started flooding your phone, you don't really have a chance to respond because Ensign Chester Baby has grabbed you by what hair is remaining and is dragging you towards an airlock.
Gilmer texts again. I'm having trouble reading the screen. Will you come help me in person?
I need you to make a lasers roll to see if you get that text out.
1.
Okay.
And then I drop a pin.
The thing is, people that age, they love a pin. They love to see how fast your car is going, and then you're in big trouble when you show up at home because they can tell the speed you were moving at. And the doors, as soon as you've dropped the pen, the doors to the engine room open. And Billy, much, much older, sort of walks in with a walker now.
Begonia has died. With the exception of a cutting that Billy has taken. So there is now a very tiny little baby Begonia pinned in Billy's lapel.
Yeah, Billy he's very old. He's got big tinted sunglasses now. His hair is completely receded. The spray tan is, like, not convincing at all. This man looks like he's in his late 80s.
And I, of course, have gone so far that I become the reborn again and I'm a baby. That's how plants work.
How can I help you?
It's Chester. He's doing this. This ship has all the energy it needs to be in tip-top shape, but this guy's trying to age everyone till he's the only one left.
Oh, that's scary.
Stop him! Stop him!
Yeah, it's only me. And behind you, Billy, you feel the pressure of two vasers held against your back.
Hey!
Yes, we're in on it too.
Yes, we are!
But why? Why would anyone want to be this age?
Turn around.
And I do. It's 4 minutes later, I'm all the way around.
Engineer Carol Wisely and biologist Gus Oldman, they're there, standing behind you, holding those vasers, and their bodies are shriveled up. They're little raisin versions of their former selves. Age has ravaged them. And then they stand up perfectly straight.
What?
They press their communicator buttons.
I haven't seen raisins stand this straight since the California raisins.
Ack!
I smile to the camera, knowing that no audience member likes what I just said.
Their wrinkled, spotted skin suddenly fills with moisture and life. Their scraggly, white hair becomes lush, well-conditioned, full, alternately, of brown and black hair. Their eyes become alive with youth and life and vigor.
And does the same thing happen to me, Joe?
No.
I look brown, black. The color is returning to these hairs. What? How could you do this? I thought we were friends.
Biologist Gus Oldman now sounds even much younger as he speaks to you.
We've been out on this mission for 3 years. And you know what happened in 3 years? The Chesterfield Omniversal Conglomagorb, who contracted us, raised the retirement age by 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like 10 years had been taken from our future. So we hatched a plan. If we could convince some unsuspecting ship to corroborate the story that we had been mysteriously aged, we would be able to retire early.
You scoundrels. You are done working when your boss tells you you're done working, not when you want to be done working. How dare you?
And I'm going to look around now. I'm like seeing everything around me, and I get a flash. I just spent 2 hours watching Yellowstone, mm-hmm. pointing to the screen and saying, that's me. Mm-hmm. Anytime Kevin Costner was on the screen, I want to be Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. I want to grab their gun, and I want to shoot each and every one of them. In a cool move.
Two of them are pointing a gun at you.
I want to try to grab that gun from them like I'm Kevin Costner.
Again, there are two pointed at you.
Okay, I'm going to go for both. I'm going to try to dual wield the guns, and I'm going to try to fire into them.
Oh, but Billy, you're so old.
I'm very old.
You got to make a lasers roll.
Okay.
And you got to roll twice and take the worst one.
Maybe I can help. So you've got a little tiny begonia in your lapel pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Full of thorns. If you want to throw the little baby thorny thing in them as a distraction and then grab the guns.
I could do that. And I do that. Because, Joe, I just got a success and my laser feelings.
Oh, my God. I didn't even have to roll these.
Billy, do you want to ask me a question?
Yeah, do you think I'm a fucking clown?
Oh.
You think, Joe, I'm talking to Joe right now, you think I didn't remember there were two guns? I grab both guns. I shoot one of them. The other is distracted by Begonia. I shoot him. I aim one at the demiurge, Joe Lepore, and I say, don't ever fuck with me again. And then I turn and I'm dual wielding and I aim both of them at Baby. And I say, nobody fucks with my child. Gelmeyer is so young, he's my child. I'm in a taken situation. It's time to make good on what I promised to the screen earlier. And I'm going to fire both of them at Baby.
Make a lasers roll.
Okay, that one did not work.
A miss.
Ah!
But the vaser blast pings off his communicator, and you see there's a sort of like digital glitch. And then you see not a perfect 35-year-old in the prime of his life, the height of his powers. You see a young, baby-faced Ensign Baby. He's only 22.
Pathetic.
He looks almost like a child.
Ugh! That's a gross age.
Pimply.
Pimply? Through the digital glitch, I see him. So it's just like a digital like projection I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Okay, I look at Gelmeyer. I don't know what to do. I don't know this technology stuff.
Does Gelmeyer know what the technology is?
Yes, Gelmeyer, you had a moment right before that wrench came down on your head, and you're still a little dazed from that.
Ugh.
But you did notice that all of the ship's power was being routed through the holozone.
It's just a hologram. They've rerouted all the powers to the Hollow Zone. It's been a whole big charade. Gelmir sticks his feet in between Ensign Babies and tries to trip him.
But Gelmir, oh, look at your old leg. Oh, it's so old. You've become so old. You even see. He's become so old. He's become older than even you.
Wait.
Gelmir, how could you?
Are we actually old, or is this just a hologram too?
You wouldn't believe, and now that the hologram's been ended for him, he sounds much younger. You wouldn't believe the powers the mind has to fool even itself. Why, if we just had to project an image of an older version of you on top of yourself, and you convince yourself, the mind convinces you that you are aged and weak.
Are you telling me that I'm actually 29? And I look at Gelmir, I look at Begonia on the dead body, say, 29, we're telling everyone I'm 29, okay? I'm 29, that's the actual thing. And I feel the life return to me now. I was just pretending to be old.
I need you to make a feelings roll to see if you can overcome.
Yeah. I got my fucking laser feelings again.
Billy, ask me a question.
How old am I? Like, for real, how old is Billy?
And 62.
This is up to you. What?
62.
62?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I feel the life return to me as I'm...
But you've been telling people you're 49 for a long time.
49. I'm 40... Listeners, I'm 49 years old, and I feel the life return to me. I'm 62 privately, the prime of my life. Everyone's at their physical prime at 62, and I flex. I'm like Popeye the Sailor Man as my youth just... It returns to me, and I hold the gun the cool way, aiming it at Baby. I say, let us off this goddamn ship.
I'll throw him out this airlock.
No, you won't, and I'm going to fire at Baby.
I need Gelmir to make a lasers roll to see if you miss him.
Okay.
He's using Gelmir as a human shield.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a success. I got a one.
I say, Gelmir, duck. Oh, wait, you don't have to. You're not 25 yet. And I shoot at that 1 inch over his head that he hasn't had yet, and I shoot right over that, hitting Baby.
He crumples to the floor.
Begonia! Begonia!
What?
You see, like, that there's just, like, this tiny cutting of Begonia on top of this body, but it's, like, you know, it's so small.
Begonia, get ready. You're about to be yourself again.
What?
Gelmir, finally out of the clutches of the shot man, rushes back to the panel and then redirects all the power back into the ship in every single part, so lowering the hologram energy to nothing at all.
Just like closing those tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, suddenly, Gelmir, your old wrinkled hands return to the hands of a 23-year-old. Billy, your old body returns to, well, what it was.
Wow, I'm 49 again.
And Begonia, that little sapling. Why, it turns back into full-blown Begonia.
Oh, that makes sense why he fell over so easily. Says a 7-foot-tall tree man on top of a dead body.
Gelmir turns to Baby. I can forgive no better punishment than for you to live the rest of your life alone on this ship, while we, together, go back to the Cavalier and get some real work done.
I touch my comms bag. Sinead O'Connor, 3 to beam back.
Hold on. What about the other two?
I assume they were dead.
Did you shoot to kill?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I shot to kill.
You really killed them?
Yeah, and I'm trying to talk to our engineer.
We were just committing fraud.
Well, you tricked me, and you made me feel bad, and I did shoot to kill. I'm Billy Onassis, and I'm comfortable with killing.
And you know what? We three may be of different generations, but one thing we can all agree on is that bosses are worth being respected. They have your best interests at heart and the best interests of the systems that you rely on at heart. The idea that you're trying to fool them, that's not cool with me. It's kids younger than me that are trying to do this, like, multi-level marketing work right now for no boss and get make your own hours stuff. I'm not about that.
Actually, the more Gelmir's talking, the more he's talking. Okay, and I touch my comms badge. Colin Farrell, 5 to beam back, but not Baby.
It's Flanagan.
Flanagan?
It's Flanagan. It's been Flanagan the whole episode.
Flanagan.
That's why I always just say Irish.
Flanagan. Am I saying that right?
Yes, and you know what? Are you still old?
No, I'm 49.
All right, well, why don't I beam you back in an hour when you've learned how to say my name?
Okay. Flanagan. Flanagan, Baby. Flanagan. I'm just playing a game with you because I know you're such a good sport. And I know you can take it.
Gelmir touches his badge and just one thing he knows he can definitely do better than a 49-year-old. Apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't know. We didn't know. We have a lot to learn, and we're doing the work right now to learn more. We're sorry. You don't have to forgive us, but I hope you know that we are taking this seriously.
Make a feelings roll.
Laser feelings.
It's not in my nature to forgive so easily, but fine, you can come back.
Goodbye, baby. With this time you have alone, I hope you learn a little something about friendship, about trust.
I look at baby and I shake my head. You haven't quite aged into your type.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. They teleport away, and Ensign Chester Baby sighs to himself, alone now on the ship, which we learned was completely operable, mm-hmm. and full power.
How will he ever get off of this?
He returns to the bridge and sets a course for Earth.
They watch from the teleporting. They've returned to the bridge and they watch as he flies back to Earth. And they go,
It's still a pretty long trip for him to think about what he's done.
What adventure lies next amongst, oh, these, those stars of space? Oh, these, those stars of space stars Allie Fisher, Branson Reese, Carly Minardo, Christopher Hastings, Tim Platt, and Joe Lepore as everything and everyone else. Oh, These, Those Stars of Space is edited by Sam Grant, designed by Joe Lepore, and produced by Joe Lepore at Bucket of Milk, with the support of our patrons and our Rear Admiral, Lucas Wagner. Our theme and additional music is composed by Huge Today. See you next time, Cosmic Voyagers, for another story from Oh, These, Those Stars of Space.